Hello and welcome to another weekly podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. If you're in the Mankato area, join us every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and again at 10:30 a.m. If you'd like to learn more, visit us at mankatohilltop.org. Best of all,
God is with us.
Thank you for your warm welcome and for my sense that And for the invitation to preach for you. I get to speak for you today and next Sunday. Looking forward to that as well. And the sense that I have been prayed for in preparation for this Sunday. It is a great gift to me. I'm Pastor Greg Chesluck. I live in Owatonna. Recently moved there with my wife of a year and a half, Rebecca. And we're having a good time there. And I recently retired in October from 32 years of being a Methodist pastor, and I'm thrilled to be here to speak with you today. As we turn to the scriptures this morning, we begin in the New Testament in the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5, and these verses. Listen for the word of God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into the place of highest privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, no one is likely to die for a good person, though someone might be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's judgment. For since we were restored to friendship with God by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be delivered from eternal punishment by his life. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. Here ends the first lesson. And now from the Gospel of Luke. Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with Jesus. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross. And the criminals were also crucified, one on Jesus' right and one on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." Here ends the reading of the gospel. So during this Lenten season, we are looking at the words Jesus speaks from the cross. There are seven statements that Jesus makes from the cross that are recorded in the four gospels. And the one that we zero in on today are the words Jesus uttered first traditionally, and he begins with a prayer. Jesus' first words from the cross are a prayer. These familiar words: "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." It's particularly significant that Jesus speaks aloud from the cross. Because when a man is being crucified, it is such a wicked form of torture and humiliation, such a long process of execution, and speaking is so difficult and so painful because the crucified man must push up air through his diaphragm into his lungs by pushing up on his pinned legs and pushing up by his wrists anchored there. And so with every drawing of breath, there's the more tearing of flesh. Indeed, it's very significant that Jesus would choose to endure such even more pain just to project his voice from the cross. Let that awareness seep deep into your mind and heart today, and keep it with you throughout this Lenten season in which we're meditating on Jesus' words from the cross. Jesus embraces and endures unthinkable, self-inflicted pain just because he wants us to hear him. And so Jesus utters an astounding, audible prayer for all to hear. The eternal Son of God prays aloud for every fought for, every grimacing breath, so all who look on and lean in will hear his voice. Why? Why does he choose to speak aloud at the cost of excruciatingly bodily pain? Because he wants us truly to hear the prayer he offers. He really wants us to take in the proclamation that he makes. He wants us to understand the purpose for which he is willingly offering his life, so that we may join him in praying his prayer and practicing his teaching that opens a healing stream of God's transforming grace. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them. Who is Jesus praying for? Who is he referring to? This week, I urge you to turn to the scriptures, Luke chapter 22 and 23, and read through them. These words tell the unfolding drama leading up to Jesus' labored, excruciatingly painful utterances from the cross. Surely, Jesus thinks of Pilate, who judges Jesus to be innocent, yet acquiesces to the crowd's demands, even washing his hands before the world. And surely he thinks of Herod, linking arms with his former enemy, now united as friends and enemies of the Son of God. And surely among them is Barabbas, an insurrectionist and a murderer, the guilty one that Pilate releases and turns the innocent Jesus over to suffer in his place. And don't forget the teachers of the law who shouted accusations against the innocent man. And lest we forget the crowd that cried, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And the criminals, deserving of the same fate, on his left and on his right. And then the failure of the disciples, Judas, who betrayed him with a kiss. The disciples who could not remain awake with him in his darkest hour and then fled. And Peter, who had pledged his loyalty to Jesus over and over again, and yet in the moment of truth could not go the distance and denied him. Before the cross, there is plenty of guilt to go around. As our Savior hangs from the cross, he prays aloud, embracing and enduring pain with every breath. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Is there anyone else for whom Jesus prays? The innocent one, here he is, the innocent one lifted high on a cross before the masses of guilty sinners. The perfect Lamb of God is being sacrificed for the sins of the world. The righteous judge, high and lifted up, enthroned on a cross, shines the light of judgment on the darkness of all humanity. We are among those for whom Jesus prays. Each one of us, broken, rebellious sinners, are those for whom Jesus died on that cross and made that proclamation. Hear him petition his Father for you as he takes in every breath. embracing and enduring that much more pain in the tearing of his flesh for you. Don't miss this. He wants you to truly hear the prayer he offers, to really take in the proclamation that he makes, to understand the purpose for which he willingly offered his life, so that you may join him in praying his prayer and practicing his teaching, which opens a healing stream in our lives of transforming grace for ourselves and spills over into the world he loves. As Jesus hangs upon the cross, he sees your face. And he says, I forgive you, my precious son. I forgive you, my beloved daughter. From before time even began, he knew your name. Before you were ever born, he knew you and all about your life and all of the icky things that you would do. And all the mistakes that you would make, and all the shortcomings and vulnerabilities that you would face, and all the burdens that you would carry, and all the brokenness that you would cope with. And on that day, on that dark and fateful day, with his last torturous breaths, he prayed with you in mind. Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing. We have not earned this gift. We do not deserve God's mercy, but out of love for you, Jesus offers it to you as a gift. It is grace, and it is amazing. This is the heart of the gospel. The heart of the gospel is not that you're a sinner and there's no hope for you. The heart of the gospel is that though you're a miserable sinner, God is a miracle-working Savior. The law of God exposes the greatness and the darkness of our sin, but the gospel proclaims that our God is a God of grace. From the very cross, Jesus speaks God's grace and forgiveness over you and me and calls us to repentance and faith. Guilt and shame, the pangs of conscience, feelings of alienation are the consequences of sin. But God's gracious love gently beckons us to our knees in repentance before the cross of Christ, where God in his boundless mercy, through the suffering death of his only son, declares us forgiven, pardoned, and free. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And here is the divine equation. Here it is. One cross plus three nails equals four given. You and I bring our sinful condition before God. We lay it before him, our helpless state. We confess our many failures, our acts of rebellion, our selfishness, our struggles, and we turn to him for his saving help. And by his merciful love and forgiving grace, we now walk in newness of life. Our sins have been nailed to the cross with Christ. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all our sin. And his promise is this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that Jesus even prays for his enemies. They're still stuck in their sin. There's not a repentant man among them. Their hearts are hardened by self-justification. They keep heaping pain and insults and sufferings upon this innocent man. And still, Jesus continues to pray for God to forgive them. The Apostle Paul proclaims this great reality in these words: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And this proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, we are forgiven. And we say, thanks be to God. Even before our eyes are opened, even before we become aware of our sin and our need for a Savior, praise God, He stands ready to forgive us through the death of His Son. The season of Lent calls us to self-examination, to invite God to shine the ray of His love into our hearts and lives and lovingly expose our detours and our drift from the path, the righteous path of God. But we can do that with confidence and with humility, knowing that God stands ready, no matter what we have to confess, God stands ready with His forgiving embrace and is acted to absorb our sin into His crucified flesh. Father, forgive them, He prays, for they do not know what they are doing. Jesus' prayer from the cross is not just His prayer, but it's His gift to you and to me. He gives us a prayer to pray for ourselves. Not only through this prayer, He works His transforming and forgiving grace in our lives toward others. And what a difference it makes when we pray this prayer. When we offer it regularly, it transforms our interactions with our families and our friends and our coworkers, even those who rub us the wrong way. It cultivates in our hearts a heart of compassion and a patience toward others. And having known the power of God's forgiveness in our lives, we're called to extend His forgiveness to those who sin against us. Forgiveness is the practice at the very heart of our Christian faith. Jesus' words throughout the gospel speak of the importance of and the call to forgive. Several years ago, I suffered a great hurt at the very unkind words of a fellow Christian brother. I thought of us as friends and colleagues in ministry. One day I found myself on his home church, or his home turf, where he was the pastor. I had been there a few times and had always felt at ease there. After the service, I approached him and asked him for a favor which I thought to be rather small and inconsequential, but very helpful to me. In response, my friend spoke the most hurtful words. He essentially told me that I was selfish and imposing. I was a mooch, and I only came around when I wanted something. A major ouch. Those unexpected words were like a gut punch to my soul. I was so shocked and deeply wounded. When I left his presence, I did so bewildered and confused. Well, a few months went by and the memory of the offense faded into the background. But one day I was attending a meeting, and when I walked into the room, there he was. I didn't expect to see him, but when I noticed him, my body immediately reacted and anxiety came over my spirit. And when I left, I knew that I needed to confront him for my benefit and for his. So I called him a few days later and set up a time for a visit. When we got together, I shared about my experience of his words and how I felt deeply wounded by him. He shared a little bit about what was happening within him, and he apologized. We talked about it a little more, and the issue was put to bed. And through that exchange, I found release from the pain and the offense that I felt, and I was relieved. I trust he felt relieved too. Through the power of Jesus Christ, forgiven was given, and reconciliation came. It was a fruit of the prayer, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And Jesus gives us the power to forgive in the most unthinkable circumstances. I'm going to close with this story of a woman named Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian and hid vulnerable Jews from the Nazis' brutal campaign to exterminate the Jews in World War II. As a result, her father and sister died in the concentration camps. After the war, she went on a speaking circuit, speaking about forgiveness. Listen to her speak in her own words about a day when she was speaking at a church in Germany.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Boom, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? And suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
On that fateful Friday, as Jesus hung upon the cross, he uttered the astounding audible prayer. The eternal Son of God prayed aloud with every fought for, grimacing breath, so all who could look on and lean in could truly hear. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And so, as we gaze on the bloodied, brutalized Savior hanging from the cross over these remaining days of Lent, truly hear the prayer he offers. Really take in the proclamation he makes. Come to understand more deeply the purpose for which he willingly gave his life. And let his petition speak forgiveness, pardon, and freedom to your soul. Let his grace transform you and heal you, and join him in praying that powerful prayer. And practice his teaching of forgiveness. By the power of his grace, practice forgiveness for yourself, for those you love, and even your enemies. On your own, you can't do it. But with him, you can. Let us pray. Lord, we marvel when we look upon the cross. We see the power of love. For while we are yet sinners, You sent your only son to suffer death upon the cross. He died in our place that we might know the power and the truth of your forgiving love. So fill us with the power of your Spirit that we may hear and believe in the depths of our being that we are indeed forgiven and set free. That we might pray with every fervent breath that your forgiving love might flow through us and that we may practice forgiveness in easy ways and in more difficult ones for our sake and for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. And all God's people say, Amen.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Don't forget to visit us online at mankatohilltop.org.